We've been looking at the signs in the Gospel of John. The last two verses of chapter 20 says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And so we've looked at signs through John in the area of personal encounters, what he said to the woman at the well, what he said to Nicodemus. We looked at signs in the way of pronouncements, the I ams. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. And we've looked at signs in the form of miracles, turning the water to wine, the feeding of the 5,000, raising Lazarus from the dead. So we're at the last sign in the last chapter of the book. Now, the first miracle Jesus did was John chapter 2, when he turned the water to wine in Cana of Galilee. The last miracle is here. If you've never seen the Companion Bible by E.W. Bullinger, he wrote that about 100 years ago, tremendous Bible scholar in the 1800s. Let me read to you what he says. The first miracle was on the third day, John 2:1. This miracle is the third time Jesus showed himself. The first miracle was because they had no wine. The last miracle is because they had no fish. The Lord uttered a command in chapter 2. He said, "Fill the water pots." In this chapter, he said, "Cast the nets." In both of them, Jesus furnished a bountiful supply. The water pots were filled to the brim, and the net was full of great fishes. Now, we'll look at why the Bible makes a point of telling us they caught 153 fish that day. Okay. Both the number was mentioned, 6 water pots, 153 fish. In both, Jesus showed forth that he was God. He says, how much we lose by not carefully studying the Bible. So I want to read this chapter. I have an outline of this chapter. Verses 1 through 8, you have the miracle of the fish. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a-fishing." And he said unto him, obviously went fishing, he wasn't catching. You know, some of you go fishing, Ed goes to catch. Right, Ed? You go to catch. Yeah, all right. All right. When the morning was now come, now they did it all night by torches, okay? They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Then when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, 300 feet, dragging the net with the fishes. So that's the miracle of fish. Now, verses 9 through 14, you have the ministry of breakfast. Jesus cooks breakfast for them. "As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto him, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. He showed himself 11 times between the time he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, and he only showed himself to people who believed in him. Now, there's probably a moral to that point. Only the eye of faith can see the hand of God. So he only showed himself to people who believed. Now, the miracle of fish, the ministry of the breakfast, the mandate to Peter, beginning at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that not even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let it be. Now, we looked at the resurrection of Jesus last Sunday, and a couple of things have happened. Not only the tomb was empty, but he appears to Mary Magdalene. Then he appears to the 11 disciples in the upper room, but there were only 10 there. Thomas wasn't there. So then he appears again when all 11 are together and Thomas is there. And that's where he gives the Great Commission in the Gospel of John. "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And then he had told them, Matthew 28:7, Mark 16:7, "Go to Galilee. The Lord goes before you to Galilee." And so they went to Galilee, and they're fishermen. They got nothing to do. They're sitting around. Didn't have anything to eat, so they went fishing all night with torches. So, how many of you have ever were taken snipe hunting? It's not snipes, it's what? Is that right? Where, yeah, it's the joke, snipe hunting. You know about torch fishing? Okay, you hold the torch near the water and the fish start sweating because the water gets hot. But fish can't sweat underwater, so they come to the surface to sweat, and then you hit over their head with a club and drag them into the boat. Torch fishing, all right? Now, so there are two things here. First of all, Jesus meets with 7 disciples and cooks them breakfast. Now, you know the number 7 in the Bible is the number of completeness. So this is Jesus with a group, or it's Jesus with the church, if this is representative of his church. So Jesus with the group, then it's Jesus with the individual, Peter. You have Jesus in the church, Jesus with the individual. Now, the 7 disciples, 7 is a number of completeness. Look at those people: Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John and two other guys. And I had a list here. I don't think I brought it with me today. But look at the characters in this boat, for this is the biggest fish tale that ended up being true. All right. But look at the guys in the boat. Simon Peter. This guy chopped off a guy's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. This guy denied Jesus three times, which is maybe why Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Look at the sons of Boanerges, the sons of thunder. You know Boanerges. You know how you thundered back then? You cussed. Apparently, these were rough-talking, rough-cussing fishermen. And yet, Jesus chose them to be his disciples. Didymus, the twin. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, yeah, other two disciples. Nathanael, you know, Nathanael was the one that they said, "We found the Messiah." Nathanael was the one, first thing out of his mouth was, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Implied is, "I doubt it." What a crew. So what do you have here? You have a picture of failure. They fished all night and caught nothing. Then you have a picture of guidance. You turn to the God for guidance. Then you have instruction. You listen to what God tells you to do. And when you do it, you obey. And then you have success. There's a whole lesson there. So you got a boat full of problem children. What does this remind me of? This reminds me, it should remind all of us, that first of all, we are supposed to be fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I went to a rally when I was in middle school, and the guy took that verse where Jesus called the disciples and they were sitting around washing their nets, and he made such a big deal about the phrase washing their nets. They should have been fishing, but they were washing their nets. They should have been doing something productive, but they were washing their nets. They should have been going after fish, but they were washing their nets. And he said, that's exactly where we are as churches today. We ought to be reaching people, but we're washing our nets. We ought to be ministering in the community, but we're washing our nets. We ought to be active for God, but we'd rather sit around and wash our nets. I thought he made a good point that night. I was impressed. I remembered it for 55 years. Not too bad. How many of you can remember what happened 50 years ago, but you can't remember what you had for breakfast? Yeah, okay. We're all in the same boat. Now, the second thing, Jesus gave them guidance. Fish on the other side. Fish there. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seeking you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." We have to ask. We have to seek before we can find. God's grace gives us all we need. You know, they were hungry and they needed fish. They ended up getting more fish than they wanted or needed, 153 fish. But that's what Romans says. He is able to give us all sufficiency unto all good things, always. Jesus is Lord even over doing work during the work day. We think about, oh, we got to go meet God on Sunday. You know, Sunday's the Lord's day. No, every day's the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A person that's called to be a garbage man is called to a calling from God. The Puritans taught that every job, every calling is a calling from God. Every day is the Lord's day, and we serve the Lord with gladness. Now, the other point is that what God does, he always does well. What God does, he always does in abundance. John chapter 2, the water pots were full of new wine. John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. They had so many leftovers it filled 12 baskets. John chapter 21, the net full of fish. Now, some people made a big deal about this exact number, 153 fish. Why 153? Well, some people say, well, the exact amount shows that he was really an eyewitness. You can tell a person really witnessed something by how much detail they give. And so John, as the writer of the Gospel of John, gives detail to give credibility to what he's writing. But some people have said, well, was 153 the number of base languages in the world? And the church is casting the net, being fishers of men, and the net is full of 153 fish. There are going to be people from every language and tongue and nation caught in the net of the gospel. And that is a verse in the book of Revelation, that the church in heaven is made up of people from every tongue and race and tribe and people. Some people say, no, 153 was the different kinds of fish in the Sea of Galilee. You know, there are 153 different species of fish in the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Tiberias, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if that's very accurate. I do know that the restaurant on the Sea of Galilee, they serve St. Peter's fish, which is a certain kind of fish, and it's served with the head on. So the fish is looking at you while you eat him. How many of you eat fish heads and rice? I'm sure you've had it, right, Lee? Was it good? Was it better than chitlins? Okay, much better than chitlins. Okay, probably smell better than chitlins smell when they cook, too. Some of you know about that. All right. Or 153, not the number of different languages, but the number of different base people groups in the world. That the gospel net is for everybody. God's salvation is for every people group in the world. So, you've got Jesus and the church, Jesus and the group, the seven disciples. The other part of this chapter, besides breakfast, is Jesus and Peter. Peter had denied Jesus three times in the court of the high priest while Jesus was on trial. And so, he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" First question was, "Do you love me more than these?" These what? The boat, the nets, his fellow fishermen. And I believe that Peter and Andrew were cousins with James and John. You can do their mother's names in the Bible. It seems like they were cousins. Okay? "Do you love me more than these things?" Interesting. Now, he uses a different word for love. The first two times he says, "Do you agape me?" Agape is the word for sacrificial love. And Peter wasn't getting it. Of course I do, of course I do. And then when Jesus changed from saying, "Do you love me, do you agape me," to "Do you phileo me," the Greek word for brotherly love and comradeship, he caught on and gave a better answer. So you find that when you study the Greek. But "Do you love me more than these?" That's the test of being a follower of Jesus. Do you love him? If any man deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, 24. 2 Peter 1, 4, Peter was going to prove his love by how he died. 2 Peter 1, 4, Peter refers to that when he writes his second letter. Now, what does Peter mean? The word Peter, the name Peter means what? Rock. So in the Bible, we have Rocky 1 and Rocky 2, right? I'm going to read from 2 Rocky. 2 Peter 1, verse 14. "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." Jesus told him he was going to die for him. He would die as a martyr. And when he wrote that letter, he said, "That's not far off. It's getting close. But I want to write to you these things before I die." Jim Elliot. I had a good friend that went to college with Jim Elliot at Wheaton College. The five missionaries that went to Ecuador, and they were trying to make friends with the Aka Indians in the jungle. And the Indians one day came out and killed all five of them, okay? Later, the Indians that killed the missionaries, the missionary families went then there and ministered to the Indians. And the murdering Indians accepted Jesus Christ as their personal savior. I have a film about it. Maybe sometime we'll watch it. But Jim Elliot wrote in his diary, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." The death of a martyr. How much do you love me, Peter? Do you love me more than these? Well, Faith in Christ means you follow him. They began following Jesus in John 1, verse 43. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It ends with following Jesus, John 21, 19. Follow me, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And this little interchange between Jesus and John tells us something else. Peter says, what about him? And Jesus says, none of your business. It's interesting that God has to say to us, none of your business sometimes. You know, Dick Eastman wrote the book, The Hour That Changes the World. It's about prayer. And he says, when I pray, God answers my prayers three ways. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says, you got to be kidding me. So Peter says, what about him? You've told me how I'm going to die. What about him? And Jesus just very bluntly said to him, what is that to you? You worry about my will for your life and let him worry about my will for his life. Don't you love the people in the Baptist church? First of all, what qualifications do you have to teach Sunday school? You have to breathe and your legs have to go all the way to the ground. All right? If I'm lying, I'm dying, guys. You know, we'll give a job to anybody, whether they want it or not. Watch out, people. But we always have people that feel like they're sent by God to tell you what God's will is for your life. You know, God is telling me that Don Clark needs to go to Haiti on the next mission trip. I don't think Don's going to start packing his suitcase just because I say it. I think God's going to have to speak to Don, not just Wade, all right? But we have people that do that. I think God wants you to do this. I think God wants you to do that. You know, do what God wants you to do. Worry about yourself. And let God worry about what other people are supposed to do. God has a job for every one of us. If we have a pulse, God has a plan. God wants us all to be doing something. If we weren't supposed to be doing something, we'd already be promoted to heaven. The fact that we're still here means that God has something for us to do. But don't worry about what God wants me to do, okay? I'm trying to do it as best I see. But what does God want you to do? And you do it. And then we'll both have the joy of the Lord in serving him. Never mind the job God's given somebody else. Jesus told Peter, your job is to follow me. His job is to follow me. All of our job is to follow Jesus. Edward Hale was a chaplain in the U.S. Senate, and he wrote these words, I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. That's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work in the grave whither thou goest. If you're going to get any work done, do it here. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. There's a word for the church and there's a word for the individual with the miracle of the fish. Now, if you've never followed Jesus, if you never asked him to come into your heart and give you the gift of eternal life, you can do that this morning. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you, then you can do it, and you can have the gift of eternal life this morning.